We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
West Virginia coach Bob Huggins met with media earlier today to provide a summer update on his team. Listen to what the coach had to say coming up right after this.
West Virginia is a special place, but it's the people that make it special.
Honestly, it is the crowd. It's the people.
This is one of the great environments. There are no pro teams in the state of West Virginia. They love West Virginia sports right here.
This is the most underrated fan base in the country.
Grass Resource, state of West Virginia, is not coal. Grass Resource is its people.
Join the climb today at WVUtimeToClimb.com.
So, Bob, just go over the roster changes that you have added since the spring and, you know, another one lately. What do you think of how your roster is currently comprised?
Well, obviously, we like our roster. We don't have probably as much size as what we've had the last couple of years. But I think we've got guys who – are going to be able to defend the rim and probably be a little more versatile. So, I like our guys. I like our team.
Questions, please use the raise hand feature. We'll go back to Greg.
How important was it that Taz returned for this year? And then, is there anything official yet on Sean McNeil's decision?
No, nothing official yet on Sean's decision. I mean, obviously, those guys were two of the best shooters, not just in our league. Those two guys can really get going and make shots. And I think both of them are going to continue to get better in other areas. We certainly need to pass it better and we need to guard better. But I feel very confident that those guys will be able to do that. But they can really shoot the ball.
Go to Justin Jackson.
Hey, Coach, Deuce obviously had a pretty good showing at the combine, and I think he has a little bit more than a week before he has to make a final decision. Can you just kind of take us through, you know, what you thought of his NBA combine performance and, you know, how active you are in the process of the decision he has to make.
Well, Deuce has been really good. Actually, Justin, he called me, it was either last night or the night before, and we talked for a while, but it was more updating me on his workouts. He had three workouts, and he was talking about the workouts and, you know, that thing, and said he's keeping an open mind and certainly wants to do what's in his best interest, which I think we're all on board with.
Kevin Kender.
Could you mention a little bit of the versatility of your roster right now? A lot of guys in that 6'7", 6'8" range that look like they can play a lot of different positions. What does that help you do, or what do you hope that will help you do offensively and defensively this coming season?
Well, offensively, you know, hopefully we pass the ball better. We just didn't pass the ball very well. And I think it really hurt us. It certainly hurt us the Syracuse game. We just didn't pass the ball well. We didn't have guys open. We didn't have people in position to make shots. We just did a really poor job of delivering the ball. And so we're going to obviously spend a whole lot of time on that. And hopefully we recruit some guys who will do a little better job at that. But we've got to guard better. We didn't guard very well. We were better offensively from standpoint that we could throw it close and score, or we could make shots, but we didn't pass it. We didn't handle it. We had way too many turnovers. We've got to get better in those areas, and we got to defend. We didn't defend them near as well as we've defended in the past.
Skyler Callahan.
Hey, Bob, what was it that you liked in Malik Curry coming in from Old Dominion? What can he do to help stabilize that backcourt?
Well, he's really good at attacking the rim. And should Deuce not return, we need somebody who can put pressure on the rim. Taz and Sean can both score, but they're not really great at attacking the rim. Malik can really attack the rim. I think he's a guy who can get other guys shots because of his ability to penetrate. I really like what I saw.
John Antonic.
For planning purposes, when do you have a concrete idea of what your roster is going to look like for a year? Obviously, that's changing now with all the rule changes. Is it July 7th? Is it when they first come to school? When do you have that idea?
Probably after the first three or four games. it's rough. I mean, with the advent of the portal, of which they can use pretty much whenever they want to use it, and then just the ability to transfer and immediate eligibility for first-time transfers. I mean, John, it's never been this fluid, ever. You know, the draft, you used to have to get out of the draft earlier than what you have to now. They continue to move it back, and it's not the NBA as much as it is our governing body to move it back. And you know, it's all about student rights, you know, and I've said many, many times and been chastised for it a time or two. What about the other guys? Do they matter? You know, when you say team, everybody wants to be part of a team, but if you're part of a team, you know, you should look out for your other guys. And dragging things out to the last minute, be it the portal, be it a transfer, or be it the NBA draft. you're not doing what's in the best interest of your teammates.
In your career, from the time you started, you think of the rule changes, you think of the three-point shot, you think of Prop 48, you think of the shot clock. Are these rule changes that have come into play the most challenging that you've had to deal with in your career?
I think in some ways, but in some ways not.
Okay.
You know, it's a two-way street. Okay, yeah, we lose some guys. Hopefully, you know, we can get some guys in the portal who can come back and fill that, or maybe do more.
But 2-year plans are done. 3-year plans are done.
1-year plans are done.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to bring freshmen in that if everything doesn't go the way they want it to go, or they think that maybe this is over their head, or they don't like this or they don't like that, they can leave. You know, it's an entirely different situation. Let's win one for the university. Let's win one for our fans. Let's win one for our teammates. It's pretty much, you know, how what gives me the best chance to get to the league.
Can you deal with this?
I don't have a choice, do I? John, here's the honest to God's truth. If the people over in Indianapolis had done things right, we wouldn't be in the shape that we're in. You know, but they know more than we know. They know more than guys who've been in this business for 30 years. So they continue to do things that really in our best interest. If they had paid the O'Bannons to start with, which is what they wanted, if they had paid the O'Bannons to start with, we wouldn't be in this name, image, and likeness situation we're in. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Back to Justin.
Hey, Coach, I guess I'm
– You were laughing at that. I saw you. You were laughing at that.
No, it's just you don't get the O'Bannon references anymore, you know. Hey, kind of looking for your opinion here. You know, if Deuce is able to get himself, mid-round or lower first round, do you think – I mean, it would be, you know, in his best interest to take that? Or, you know, just kind of looking at what your thoughts are if he were to become a low first round pick, if that was his grade.
Well, I could show you, and Deuce has all this information. His family has all the information. We gave him all the information. We were very transparent with things, but you take like, for example, a Marcus Smart who, if he had come out after his freshman year, he was projected. Now, this is just projected where he would have been in a draft.
Right.
He'd have made $653,000 a year. It's a lot of money.
Sure.
He stayed. So the next draft year, he moved up in a draft and he made $3.7 million.
Yeah.
I think those things are things that I think guys have to take a really hard look at. And you know, where am I going to be in a draft? Who's on the team that potentially I'm going to get drafted by?
Right.
You know, the G League's a very real thing. And I think what happens sometimes is the NBA season starts way before the G League season starts.
Yeah.
So those guys are able to hang on, sit on the bench, maybe get a few minutes in the big leagues, and then as soon as the other league opens up, now they're down there. And so now you're in a G League playing in Canton, Ohio in front of 25 people, and you go home and cut on the TV and your teammates are playing in Allen Fieldhouse in front of 16,000, or they're playing in the Coliseum in front of 14,000. I don't know what price do you put on that?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things for 19, 20 year olds to think about. I mean, do you go right away? Do you think you can come back, have a bigger year, move up? And the honest to God's truth in this draft is there was no draft last year.
Right.
So you basically have three drafts in one. You have this year's draft, you have last year's draft, and then the European deal. And I think we all remember sitting there watching, I can't remember who it was, but a guy who was projected to be whatever he was, five or six or whatever. And he sat there, and I believe there were six or seven Europeans drafted before he was drafted. And you could just see on his face, like, what happened? Well, there's no way of knowing how many Europeans are coming in. So, you know, it's not as simple as what one would maybe think it is, and it's certainly not as simple as what the players think it is.
If I could ask you one other thing here about with Derek leaving early, is, I don't know, I guess the way I want to ask it is, obviously agents have become, I mean, they've always been a big issue in sports. Was Derek's situation kind of a situation where, you know, maybe somebody gets in his ear and, you know, starts talking about this and that and promises, and it just sounds better? Or, I mean, what are your thoughts with?
Well, in general, Justin, there's good agents. There's bad agents.
Yeah.
There's guys who prey on young people.
Yeah.
We've had that here. We've had a guy come in here and prey on young people. And, you know, the saddest thing to me is every summer somebody comes back and said, Hugs, I wish I would have listened. And I wish I would have listened to you. And, you know, it's hard for them to understand. I don't care one way or the other, you know, other than the fact that I want what's in your best interest. I really don't care about some agent who's running around trying to make money off of kids. I want what's in their best interest. And they ask me, I tell them, and it, you know, they either listen or they don't listen. And it's hard because these guys, that's all they do, is just, they're there 24/7. And I mean, I think in Derek's case, there were four of them, you know, and so, you know, they kind of took turns of talking to him about, you know, this and that. And I think, you know, if you can imagine being down the road and making that kind of money and living that kind of life, it's a very exciting thing for them. That what's not exciting is when it doesn't work out.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you're scrambling around trying to get one of those guys who puts guys in Europe or Japan or Russia.
Right.
Back to Greg Hunter.
So, Bob, in terms of your transfers, the difficulty in assimilating guys who probably are going to have to play a lot of minutes for you that quickly, but also the positives of incorporating guys who played a lot of college basketball in their career.
I don't think it'll be that hard. I mean, look at when, for instance, Deuce and Sean came in the same year. I think that them has, I think, the same year. It didn't take them very long. But I go back to, we played Ohio State in early. We played them early in Cleveland. And I thought we played well. I mean, we guarded a heck of a lot better then than what we guarded at any time last year, that's for sure. And, you know, I don't think anybody knew Deuce was that good. I never saw, I mean, he never played. And so I don't think it's as hard as, I mean, it's not easy, but it's not as hard as what one would think maybe it would be. And we've got guys, I mean, we've got guys who have been in a program that will certainly continue to get better. I mean, Isaiah, we're thinking it's going to be full go. How about add a 6'10" guy who can pass it, who can shoot it, step out on the floor, spread the defense. So I think we're fine.
Ethan Bach.
Hey, Coach, just explain what Jamel brings to the table. Like, what stood out to you about his game during the recruitment process, and what kind of player is he?
Of who again?
Jamel.
Well, obviously, we liked what we saw. I think he fits in what we need. I mean, what we try to do is fill needs. I mean, we've got guys coming back. I mean, we've got wings coming back. And think about it. Think about Taz, Sean, JB. I mean, those guys have a lot of experience. Isaiah's been in a program. And so we've got guys. We were looking for people who fit a need. And we thought he fit some of our needs.
Back to John.
Based on what you've got and what you anticipate coming in, what do you think you're going to be able to do best, or do you still think that's too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to do something defensively that is different than what we did, and be it some kind of zone, some kind of half court, something. You know, you look back to when we were really good. We were really good because we kept people off balance. You know, we tried to. I mean, go back to the Kentucky game. We tried to guard them man to man. We had no chance. Thank goodness we had been playing that 1-3-1.
Yeah.
Some, you know, we didn't play it a lot, but we played it some. And really that saved us. It saved us both Villanova games. Both Villanova games, we trapped them out of the 1-3-1. The Louisville games, we trapped them out of the 1-3-1. Mm-hmm. So we've got to be able to. And then we tried to do it last year, and we were really bad at it, you know, and so we didn't do it. But hopefully we'll be able to do some things like that, play some 1-1-3, you know, and maybe press a little bit just to change the tempo of the game, which we didn't do a very good job of a year ago.
You know, you mentioned different. You know, the league's going to be a little bit different this year. You got some coaching turnover. You know, Lon's gone. Beard went to Texas, Iowa State. Assistant coach is moving within teams in the league. It's going to be a little different this year than normal, isn't it?
It's always different. I mean, really, it's always different.
Okay.
You're going to have different personnel. You're going to have different coaches. I mean, you can't coach in a league this hard. And if you lose, you're going to get fired. And somebody's going to lose in this league. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, I'm just trying to make sure it isn't me. But it's a hard league. I mean, it's really a hard league. I was just looking at some stuff, you know, like wins in the last whatever. I mean, we're tied for second. Kansas obviously is first. We're tied for second with somebody. I want to not stay there. I want to continue to advance. And I think we can.
Back to Kevin Kinder.
But you mentioned Isaiah. Where is he in his rehab process? What can he and what is he still limited in doing? And is anyone else limited right now in your summer workouts?
No, everybody else is fine. That question is better served for Doc Metter to answer than I. But he looks good. He looks good. They haven't turned him loose yet, but he looks good. He's doing all the shooting drills and all those kind of things. It's just a matter of running and stopping and starting and cutting that they haven't turned him loose yet to do.
Back to Skyler.
Hey, Coach, with Polycap and Kerrigan coming in, does that kind of allow you to maybe go towards more pressure than you guys did a year ago?
Conceivably, yeah, conceivably. You know, we've gone back and looked at the old Press Virginia stuff, and it was really good, really, for two reasons. We had two of the best on the ball defenders in America, in JC and Dax, and we had the best shot blocker in America, in Sags. So, you know, we were pretty good at it, and when they did break it, I mean, how many times you look at a highlight film of Kansas coming in trying to score on Sags, and he just continued to block shots and shake his finger at him, you know. And we don't have Sags. We're probably never ever going to have another Sags. But we got to do a better job guarding the ball, and we hope that those guys in the back can be an influence. That's all. Just be an influence. Just they don't have to block shots, but if they could change shots, that would be terrific.
Bob Hertzel, do you have a question?
I sure do. Hey, Bob. Your teams have always been known for their rebounding, and you know, you've obviously lost a lot of rebounding since the start of last season. How are you going to handle that as far as handling boards?
Well, we're obviously, Bob, we're going to have to spend a little bit more time on it, but I mean, we rebounded it. I mean, think about back to the Final Four year. We had no size. Wellington Smith thought he was a two guard till I got here, and all of a sudden he became a center. So we've got to put our bodies on people, and we just didn't pursue the ball the way we generally pursue the ball. I mean, it's you know, our teams generally have been guys who really try to go rebound, miss shots, and we didn't do that. We kind of stood around and watched, and we got to fix that part of it. But you know, it's what's that old adage, Bob? It's not the size of the fight and the dog, but rather not the size of the dog in the fight, but rather the size of the fight and the dog. I think that's
you'd be a bad football coach.
I'd be a terrific football coach. I mean, think about it. You only have to play 10, 11 times.
That's true.
And we'll go back to Justin. If there's no further questions, Justin will be the last.
Coach, you've obviously got a kind of interesting mix in building the roster this year with a lot of older guys. And obviously, if Deuce comes back, that's another older guy for you. But with the transfer guys brought in, obviously they're very experienced, very much older. And then, you know, obviously the freshmen from last year and the freshmen you brought in this year, you know, just kind of moving forward with this thing as you kind of get your feet wet in the portal, is it tempting at all to try to stay old, or, you know, at some point, these, you know, the young guys are going to be counted on? Just seems kind of interesting to me how you've got two very different kind of facets with the team this year, and then maybe moving forward.
Well, I think we had to get we took basically three bigs.
Right.
But we felt like we needed three bigs with everybody that we lost and the uncertainty with Isaiah. If we knew Isaiah was healthy, going to be healthy and be 100%, I don't know that we would have went to the extreme that we went to. Our other guys are getting better. They're getting better and better and better, but they're not there yet. And the other guys that we took, I thought the best thing that we did for JB was redshirt him for a year and not play him. His redshirt year, he could practice. And instead of going to a prep school and play against high school kids, he came in here and played against grown men. And I think it helped him tremendously. And so that's probably going to be what we do with the two freshmen that we got commitments from, is let's bring them in and let them grow up and let them play against grown men as they're growing up. I think it'll help them tremendously. JB coming in, think about it. I mean, JB came in after everything happened. JB came in and didn't miss a beat. As a true freshman who had never played in a game before, in a college game before. So, if you can afford to do that, I think that's a terrific thing to do.
And then on JB, obviously he was kind of that shooter in the corner last year. How do you see his game evolving this year?
Well, I think he'll attack the rim more.
Yeah.
If JB ends up playing, he could be a three or a four, and if he's a four, in a lot of instances, he's going to play against a guy a lot bigger and probably a lot slower than what he is. So, I think, and he's worked at it, JB spends time. He works at it in a situation where he can drive it at the goal some, put some pressure on the rim. We've got to put more pressure on the rim. We just didn't put a lot of pressure on the rim. And hey, we all want Sean and Taz shooting the ball. But we still at the same time got to put some pressure on the rim.
Back to John.
Yeah, last one here for me, and I'm kind of veering out of my comfort zone here asking about recruiting. But do you think with all the talk of the transfer portal and all of the emphasis on that there could be maybe some opportunities now with high school kids and prep school kids and JC kids that maybe weren't there for you guys with all these people, focusing on the portal?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I don't think it'll make much difference with junior college guys and high school guys. I think people by and large, and John, it all depends on needs. If you can get a terrific freshman, why wouldn't you? Now, I think there's a real possibility that's going to change too. I mean,
could there be a backlog?
I think there could be. I think potentially people start getting in the portal and taking transfers, and all of a sudden you got a whole bunch of freshmen out there with nowhere to go. But then again, you got all those D2 schools, that if they were smart, they would probably try to recruit them and tell them, hey, listen, we can do for you what happened with Baylor. You can come in here, you can grow your game, and then you can transfer out to a Power Five school. There's a lot of things that certainly could happen. I mean, I'm not so sure they're all in the best interest of our game.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of possibilities out there.
I don't know the number, but my understanding is there's still a bunch of kids that are in that portal that may never get out or will have to go down.
Mm-hmm. They're going to find a place to play, be it a D2 or a D3, but but it's not what they
thought. Not where they wanted to be.
No, not in any way, shape, or form what they wanted to be. And they probably left a pretty good situation.
Yeah.
But again, John, coaches didn't do this. This is the NCAA. This is guys who have never coached, never played, come up with an idea and say, hey, this will be good for our game. Well, first of all, it's not their game. They just reap the money from it. It's not their game.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And that was West Virginia coach Bob Huggins. Thanks for listening.
Let's jump into Pepper's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Pepper play sets. Pepper Pig, inspiring kid confidence.